We are going to go ahead and get started with our lesson for this evening. I'm wanting to pretty much complete the remaining portion of 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. Having said that, I do intend to be in various places in the scriptures on this evening. So let me tell you where we were, if I'm not mistaken, on last Tuesday night, and then that can at least orient you. Last Tuesday night, we covered the portion of 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter. We went down to about the 30th verse. We went over into 2 Chronicles, I think, the 36th chapter. So, having said that, again, I'm going to give a recap after I pray, Lord willing. We're going to pick up at the 31st verse and go down after I pray. I may reiterate some of this and then let you know some other places. We're going to be not just in 2 Kings on this evening. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come into your word and continue to be reminded of patterns that we need to pay attention to. Some patterns that we see in the scripture are from the conduct of men that's gone on before. And as we understand that you say that we can look through the scriptures and see a hope or that we should have, that the things that were written aforetime was written for our learning. As we learn, we have patience through the various things that we go through, but with the wisdom of what is right and what is wrong, righteously according to your the way you've told us things should be. I'm asking that you help each and every one of us in seeking truth. Help me on this evening as we look at various passages of scripture. Help us to be able to understand how we are to incorporate your truth, your principles, your word, your righteousness in our lives. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. Help us not to take you for granted. We just thank you for all of your blessings upon us. Give us the strength that we need. Help us to always yield to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Again, as I've already said, we want to be looking at this second chapter of 2 Kings, 23rd chapter, and about the, I guess I'm going to say, 7 or 8 verses. I want to give a recap before my wife reads this. And even in the recap, I'll probably say some things that I didn't say on last week, but let's get into the Word of God. Last week, we were looking at King Josiah. King Josiah being the son of Ammon. Ammon was a wicked king who did not reign very long. He reigned for 2 years. King Josiah was setting in order or restoring much wickedness that his grandfather Manasseh had done, established, made to be firm in the people's mind. Very egregious, wicked, and abominable, the things that he did. You can go back and look at some of that. As a matter of fact, I'm actually wanting to look at some of that possibly this evening. So we keep saying it, Well, I know that the tendency of people is to go wayward, and some will not hear. Anyway, Josiah was restoring the various things that had been set awry and going against the prescribed word of the law of God. Remember, Josiah had learned that the book of the law had been misplaced or hidden, and it was found. Hilkiah the priest had it read before, or read to him. And Josiah ripped his clothes. He ripped his clothes in anguish and in fear about the things that had taken place. Well, in the restoration, we didn't go all through 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter. We went through a part near the end of 2 Chronicles 36. If you were to read, and I'm thinking it's verses 1 through 19, you'll see how the people had to wash, and they were cutting up the animals for the proper, keeping of the Passover, and then there was the feast I want to say of the unleavened bread. I didn't really go into all of that on last week, but we did visit Leviticus a little bit and talk about the Passover. So I invite you to go and read a lot of that. So in all of the things that Josiah had done, and Bible said there hadn't been not had not been a Passover like the one that Josiah kept, even the one that Hezekiah did. Hezekiah, I think, was his great great grandfather, kept the Passover. But when I was looking, and I read this on last week, but I read it several times in different sources, preparing for tonight. It says since the time they believe of Samuel, it had not had, a Passover had not been kept by, definitely not by the kings in Israel, they were all wicked, nor by the ones in Judah. We talked a little bit about what that Passover represented on last week. So we're establishing again in your mind, hopefully, that Josiah was a righteous king, and it come to a point where Josiah had idols torn down, the temple, things that were in disrepair repaired, and the people were learning again and getting their minds and their hearts right. I need you to put this on mute, please. But then we come to a point where we learn that there's conflict. Now, throughout the time that we've been going through, even when we were, if you all remember, and I believe you do, when we were going through Judges, we saw that there was conflict and wars and battles with other nations. We've seen it First Kings, and we've seen it in Second Kings. So in last week, we began to hear again about the Egyptians, and there was Pharaoh Necho. Necho was going, let's say he wanted to kind of go through, let's say, how can I say this the right way? Use the borders of Palestine to go up toward Assyria, and he wanted to recover some land, right? Let me slow down for a second. If you remember Syria, not Assyria right now, Syria is north, right? Assyria is sort of north and going eastward. So there's always contention between nations to conquer land and people, their resources. So here's Pharaoh Necho. I'm going back down. Pharaoh Necho, he's to the south. I'm going to say southwest. Go all the way down south. You're beneath Judah, below Judah, and so forth. And so he's coming up. He's wanting to use the borders of Palestine, and he wants to get back to up near Syria, and he's wanting to take some land. Well, Josiah, he's against that. One of the things that I was reading, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I couldn't find anything to disprove it per se. Some scholars believe that how can I say, Josiah was siding with Babylon, because later Babylon would have a problem with Egypt as well. The point is, Necho, he's wanted to go and recover some land in Assyria because he's lost it to the Babylonians. History, some of the history says. But Necho says, he says, my beef is not with you. I don't have a problem with you. You need to leave me alone. God has told me to go with this. Go on back. So some of the things that I read said that Josiah had taken an army out, and he's rushing out against them. Josiah determines that he's not going to listen to Pharaoh Necho. He ends up losing his life. It's reminiscent of when Ahab, I can't remember, I'm thinking it's around chapter 22, I don't know, I think it's chapter 22, 23 of First Kings. Well, he goes out against the Syrians, and he disguises himself. Well, Josiah disguised himself, and he goes out anyway. And the interesting thing and the sad thing about it is, with all the good that he did, we see that there was a bad decision. I don't think that he went to hell from it, but I think he paid the price. I think he paid the price because the scripture doesn't really show us where he consulted God. Anyway. He's struck by an arrow, and he tells his servants, you know, take me back. He goes back to Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, they say they put Josiah in another chariot. So this is where we kind of pick up. But there is something I want to say that I was looking at, and some scholars say that Josiah was warned. Now, we've looked at sometimes other, sources. And I want to look at a source and just read something to you because I think it adds some possible more information for us. You know how sometimes we'll refer to Josephus, who's a historian. Well, I want to look at a book that is included in what we call the Apocrypha. Okay, in your what we call the Protestant Bible, that of 66 books and or letters that's compiled, you won't necessarily see that, but you'll see it in the Apocrypha. This is coming from First Esdras, I think it is, what we would call the first chapter. And I want to say it's the 28th verse. This is mentioning Jeremiah. So I'll tell you in case you can't follow per se. It's saying that Jeremiah had warned Josiah that basically you don't need to go. So if that is true, and I want to I want to look in some passages of Jeremiah tonight. So I think I think it's weighty, and I think it should be considered. So, Dree, if you have Esdras from the Apocrypha, first chapter, I'd like you to read from verse 26 through about verse 28 or 29.
But the king of Egypt sent to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, O king of Judea? I am not sent out. I am not sent out from the Lord God against thee, for my war is upon Euphrates."
Okay, this right here that she just read is sort of the part of the conversation. And you say he sent people out. Necho, that is, sent people out to tell Josiah, "Hey, you know, I don't have any problems with you. I need to pass through your land because I'm going to conquer some land. Stay back." Keep reading, Drew.
"I am not sent out from the Lord God against thee, for my war is upon Euphrates. And now the Lord is with me. Yea, the Lord is with me, hasting me forward. Depart from me and be not against the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
"Howbeit, Josias did not turn back his chariot from him, but undertook to fight with him, not regarding the words of the prophet Jeremy spoken by the mouth of the Lord."
Read that one more time. I got a different version, but it's the same thing. Listen at this. This is what this particular text says about of Necho, but Josiah disregarding what Jeremiah said. Listen, he disregarded what the Lord had said through the prophet Jeremiah and joined battle with Pharaoh in the plain of Megiddo. Pharaoh's captain swept down upon King Josiah. So when we look at, actually, if you look at some of the kings, you got David, even Ahab and Jehoshaphat. A lot of times they should have sought the voice of the Lord through the prophet. Sometimes they would say, okay, the Urim and the Thummim, so we can determine what the will of God is. Josiah had said, well, he sent some people to Huldah, the prophetess, to find out what the will of God was when they found the book. So if this is true, then we see where he disregarded what Jeremiah said. You say, "Gary, you put too much emphasis on that." I just think we ought to consider it because Jeremiah, the prophet, if you go back and I think you read just the first few verses of the first chapter, we don't have to, but he, if I am not mistaken, he lived through the reign of Josiah all the way up through Mattaniah or Zedekiah. That's a few reigns, even though a lot of those reigns were short. So we can see that there was definitely a relationship and a communication between Jeremiah and the prophets after Josiah. As a matter of fact, when we were in 2 Chronicles, I think it might be 36 or even this one, it said that Jeremiah lamented the death of Josiah. You say, "Gary, you ain't gotten into scriptures yet." Well, we're talking about them. We're still in a recap, right? Yes, we are. And it said that where that was recorded, that it was in the book of Laments. Now, when I was looking at it last week, I was thinking Lamentations, but it's Lamentations. I think we'll see a different type of lament, not specific to Josiah, but what's befallen the people of God and so forth. I hope this is making sense. Let's move on into the text where we are tonight. So Josiah, he's been wounded and he dies, right? The people give him a very beautiful and an honorable burial. They bury him in the tomb of his fathers. Now, I've read that many times and I knew it was significant, but just in looking at different things, it's an honor as opposed to sometimes you just like bury someone in a certain place or just leaving them out in the field. If you look at how King Saul, the first king that God allowed them to have as a man, he was, how can I say, his body was desecrated by the Philistines, even lost his head. Some brave men went and got him, but I don't recall him being buried with the fathers. Okay, so you might say, finally, we're about to go into the text tonight. Yeah, let's do this. Dream. I'm wanting you to turn to this 31st verse. If you want to, you can start at the 30th verse. Read all the way down through the 37th verse, if you would, from 2 Kings 23.
And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his fathers had done. And Pharaoh Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and took Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give it unto Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Pedaiah of Rumah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that his fathers had done.
Thank you. Well, I said I was going to end there, but actually, we may go a little further. So I meant to say that because that's exactly how I was thinking in the beginning. But so we're just going to go on with the lesson. Well, I do have a title in case you were wondering. The title that I have for the lesson or the message on tonight is "Seeds Spring Up, You Reap What You Sow." Okay, seeds spring up, you reap what you sow. Given the recap and reading the text and just going back and looking at different parts of Jeremiah, I'm so reminded of Manasseh. So you say Manasseh's not in this text. You haven't read any verse with Manasseh in here. Let me just say this. Manasseh is in this text. Manasseh is here. Manasseh is here. So we're looking at his how can I say, grandson, Josiah, who's passed off the scene. And I want us to go back and see something. Lord willing, we're coming back to where we are. Hopefully, this won't be too disjointed, but I couldn't help. Manasseh rings loud and clear to me. When we were in the, I'm going back a little bit now, so please bear with me. I'm going back to 2 Kings, the 21st chapter. The 22nd chapter and the 14th verse. This is when Josiah has the book read and he's conversing with Hilkiah. We see that God makes some pronouncements. Why am I saying this? Because after Manasseh's dead and gone, Amon's dead and gone, Josiah is dead and gone. God still reigns. God reigns the whole time. These earthly kings are here. And his word endures forever. His word lasts longer than any person, any man's breath, any person. His word is sure. It's steadfast. So it's like, what did God say before? When we go, when we're looking at these kings, you know, hopefully I come back and make a few points. I'm looking at 2 Kings, the second chapter, and I'm going to start at about the let's say the 16th verse. I need help. Thank you. 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter, and the 16th verse. This is the pronouncement or the declaration of God through the prophetess Huldah. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me. When that was stated, it seemed to have culminated. Can I say that? Culminated in the reign of Manasseh, who I think was 55 years. But if you go back and you read from the time of Genesis up to where we are now, you see it's just the same old, same old. The same old, same old. And it's like, the you know, when the Bible says the iniquity of the Amorites was full, God's like, I've been tolling, I've been patient, I've been forgiven. You know what? I have to show you. So the seeds are springing up. What's the rest of what we see right here in this 22nd chapter, 2 Kings? Because basically we're reading now, God has pronounced through this whole, the way he's pronounced through much of the scripture, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods that they might provoke me to anger. God is a loving God, but they say the God of the Old Testament is mean. No, he's just. He's holy. He's keeping his word. The politicians don't keep their word. Many fathers and mothers don't keep their word. Their vows that have been broken, when people stand before God Almighty and say, until death do us part. Businessmen don't keep their word. But God, he keeps his word. They forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me unto anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall kindle against this place and shall not be quenched. Gary, why do you keep going back to that? Because we have talked about a righteous king. Doesn't it seem like, oh, God should take that into consideration? I believe we see that Huldah said, because of the tenderness of your heart, you've been tender, the way you have shown yourself to be repentant, what you've done, you won't see it. But see, God's been looking at this a long time. His mercy is there, but it's like it's time for me to do what I have told you I am going to do. So when we go back through this and we see all of these wonderful things that by the grace of God Josiah's done, he's passed off the scene, and now I'm going to go back to where we were in this particular text, 2 Kings 23, and I'm now going to verse 31. Listen, actually, I'm going to go back to 30. And his servant, this is Josiah, carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and they anointed him and made him king in his father's stead. Doesn't that sound right? That the posterity of the prince would become king? But let's see what happens here. The next verse says Jehoahaz was, I hope I'm saying this right, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned. It's not funny. But sometimes I read the scriptures and I do get a little tickled. And he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. Now, what something that we ought to see is that God is not bound by anybody's time. Remember, I mentioned Manasseh. Manasseh got to reign for 55 years, the better portion of which was very wicked. And we understand that he repented, right? Started building the wall up for the defense of Jerusalem and so forth. And then so he reigned 55 years. And then his son, Ammon, reigned 2 years. Here's Josiah. I want to say he reigned 29. I think it's 29 years, somewhere around there. I forgot. Pardon me for that, please. And then his son, what'd you say? 31. I think he might have been 29 years old. Well, something. My wife said 31 years. He reigned a significant amount of time. But his son reigns 3 months. Listen at it. It said, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. 32nd verse. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, or according to all that his fathers had done. Oh. You know, just be practical. When God lets us see patterns, and he lets us see how, when he could take us off the scene, because he doesn't need us. Remember, he who gives, what is it? Job said, the Lord gives, and he says that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. What is it that you have that you have not been given, right? The ability to blink, the ability just to have a, this might sound funny, but I'm not being funny, to have a big toe to help you balance when you walk, to have lungs that will do, you know, and a diaphragm to help you breathe. My father, before he died, many of you listening know he couldn't hardly breathe, gave him the oxygen from one of those tanks. And so we take a lot of things for granted. Well, it says right here that this Jehoahaz did evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, God doesn't play. So when I was reading, my mind went back to 2 Kings 21. Yeah, when Manasseh was reigning. Can I turn there? I'm going to. 2 Kings 21. When we start to see a lot of the wickedness that Manasseh had done, because see, God is like, you are reaping what you've sown. You're going to get the recompense of your reward. But look, just the scripture will show us that it did not have to be so. It did not have to be so. Did not have to be so. Listen at this. I want to look at this, the seventh verse and maybe the eighth, seventh through the ninth verse, 2 Kings 21. We want to hearken back because it looks like, oh, all of a sudden this stuff is just falling apart. No. Listen at this. This is talking about Manasseh. Dre, if I start messing up, just take it from me, unless you want to start it out. I'm going to try it. I feel like reading. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in the house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move anymore out of the land which I gave their fathers. It's like a blessing. God said, I'm going to establish you. I'm going to let you have the city of Jerusalem. I'm going to put my name in the house there. You don't have to wonder. You've come through the wilderness, but you've got to be obedient. You've got to be obedient. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers. Only if, only, only, only. Listen, there's a condition here. only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. So conditions of peace. Listen, this was read. This is inserted here. It looks like in the time of Manasseh. What Manasseh? Did you not know? Listen at the ninth verse, which we already know. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil. This is crazy. Then all the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. For some reason, I remember reading about the Amorites. I think he said he had done more wickedly than the Amorites. The Amorites often is equated to the people of Canaan, the Canaanite people. What? When you got God's word and you reject it, it's like, woe unto you, right? The expectation of the wicked really is to learn from us, to come to God and to repent. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lesson on this past Saturday. You might want to call it the Sabbath. Repent. I'll start talking about that. Repent. God gives a chance to repent and you don't. Manasseh, you see how you help mess the people up? Well, let's go back to where we were. So when we get to this and we see this Jehoahaz, and then to see that he did wicked after he had a righteous father. Wow. Now, what happens here? Let me look at the time. What happens here? See, God uses these other nations. So I'm back at 32, 2 Kings 23 and 32. Josiah's son Jehoahaz, the Bible says, he did wicked, did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done, the wicked ones. Listen, 33. And Pharaoh Necho put put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he made him that he might not reign in Jerusalem. So the same Pharaoh which was going out and tell or sends men to tell Josiah, listen, we're not trying to fight against you, we're trying to advance, just want to go through your land, and then some of his servants ends up killing Josiah. This same Pharaoh, he takes Josiah's son. Now right here where you see it, it says he takes him to Hamath, and I think this is like near the area going a little further north, near the border and so forth. I was reading several things, and so since I didn't pull out a map, I might be a little fuzzy on this. But later on, he's going to have this Jehoahaz sent to Egypt, and he's going to and Josiah's going to die. Not Josiah, I'm sorry. What's his son? Jehoahaz is going to die there. I'm not going to have a chance to be righteous for God before the people. No, God is allowing his judgment to come on through. You remember what we just read, what Huldah said? That God's wrath is not going to be quenched in so many words. Dree, I need you to pick up at this, read this 33rd verse again, because I think I didn't get the last part. And Pharaoh Necho.
Necho put him in bands at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and put the land to a tribute of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold.
So now the people of God, who were never supposed to be in bondage after Egypt, they're having to pay tribute to the Egyptians. Now, one thing that we want to remember is that they had left Egypt, the land of bondage, which often we'll see likened to sin. When God sets free, we should be free. It is a diligence that we stay in the word, though. When we see that these kings left the word, we see that they err. We see that they cause problems. We see that there's death. We see that there's confusion. We see God is angered. We've seen the mercy of God. But look at what's happening. We've seen the kingdom in the north be desolate and destroyed. Now we're looking at the destruction of the entire nation of God. And let's say something, he's allowing it. So you think God would tell Moses, he said, I'll wipe these people out. And we think that he should have kept them. He had to. He didn't have to. There's going to be a remnant. Because see, we're not going to be all in Jeremiah like maybe like I kind of was thinking. But God is like, I keep my word. I keep my word. So now this nation, the Judah, they're having to pay tribute. What's a takeaway from this if we don't get anything else? Disobey God and you're going to pay. We'll pay in this lifetime. Sometimes if we're able to repent, that can be, how can I say, is assuaged a good word? God can let you reap for as long as you want to, a consequence. And sometimes he's like, okay, he might smooth things over, but God is God. First things first, hear and obey God. All that you said when Moses come down from the mountain, said we're going to do. And these people knew that they did not do. It's true. So now they're paying. But there are other nations. There's the Assyrians who had taken the northern kingdom, kept captive. And Babylon is on the rise. Babylon is on the rise. Saints, we're near the captivity. We are near the captivity because the southern kingdom is about to basically be finished in a few more years. We're looking at just a few more chapters. If you were to look at 2 Kings and or the Chronicles, let's continue on a little bit in this particular portion of scripture tonight. Verse 34, Dre,
And Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and to Jehoahaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there.
Read.
And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation, to give unto Pharaoh Necho.
Now let's stop right there for a second. So we see again, this control, and if we don't fight with the weapons that God gives us, and that is his word, that is surrendering to his word, that is trusting and obeying his word, we will be taken captive and our names will be changed. These were the people of God. Now they're really the people of Egypt. You know, I mean, kingdom. This is about kingdom, right? When we were going through the book of Revelation, we see that we talk about the synagogue of Satan as opposed to the synagogue of, let's say, the faithful of Yahweh. So there can be a changing when we look at when we think of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. We'll see how he would change their names. And Tim made me see. I'd never really thought about it prior to him making it stand out to me. Daniel's like, my name is Daniel. I'm Daniel. Well, so this Necho, we already said he imprisons Josiah's son Jehoahaz, and then he sets up Eliakim, Josiah's son, and then he changes his name, and he's going to have to pay as well. So we read on down into the 36th verse. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebudah, the daughter of Padiah and Ruma. And he did, listen at this, saints, and say he also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Now, I guess you could say, well, what about Josiah? Josiah didn't do evil. Well, there's a principle, I think, in the scriptures when you do, let's say, I'm thinking Romans 6 and 16, I believe it is. And it's something along the lines of, if you obey righteous, to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. In other words, so we have righteousness that comes from God Almighty, the Most High. You yield yourself servants to obey. You're his servants. He's your father. You see what Jesus would call those who would, those religious leaders who would obey, how can I say, sinfulness and their own hearts. He said, you're of your father, the devil. So there is a principle here. So when we look at this, you say, well, they follow their fathers. Well, who were the wicked kings? So that's going to be their fathers, because you say they did not follow after the ways of David and so forth. So David's not their father. Well, so who are we following? There are some seeds that there are some definite seeds that have been sown. There are some definite seeds that have sprung up. Why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why couldn't they see what, como se llama, pues, Josiah had done? I believe they saw, but there was so much there. So much there. Now, I had said prior to this that we would stop at verse 36 or 37, but I that was a previous thing that I wanted to do. Maybe we should go into Jeremiah. Let's look in Jeremiah just a little bit. As I've said, Jeremiah reigned through the was a prophet. That's what I want to say. Through the kingship, rulership, Josiah, Jehoahaz, Eliakim, Jehoiakim, all the way when we get to Mattaniah. We're not going to be in Mattaniah tonight, but I just wanted to look maybe at a little bit. Let's turn Jeremiah 15. Now, when we turn in there, I'm looking more at sort of at a principle, because I think it's here also that it's even going to mention Manasseh, which if we continue on in the 24th chapter of 2 Kings, you'd see Manasseh. But let's turn to Jeremiah, because he was a prophet there. The whole book of Jeremiah is actually sad. Very sad. I think Hilkiah was Jeremiah's father. So you see he has a godly example. But anyway, turning to the 15th chapter, I want us to consider these first six verses. And there's a lot of repetition of thought, damnation, and even what God is going to do. In all of the damnation and the judgment that you read in the book of Jeremiah, God is so faithful. Fully wonderful, and there's still hope, because whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we through patience and enduring, being obedient to God, enduring when the world is wicked, enduring when we might want to do something, say, no, God, help me not to turn to the right or to the left, but being obedient. We through patience and comfort of the scripture, we can have hope that God is going to deliver. You can't read righteously the book of Jeremiah and not see that there's a hope. Whew. Because he's able to deliver the one who will be obedient. So we just turn to Jeremiah again. This is not necessarily, I would say, in the time exactly of Jehoiakim, if I'm correct. Because I had gone back and was reading several chapters here and there, but let's look at what it says right here. Would you read this, Dree? Let's look at the first six verses of Jeremiah 15.
Then said Yahweh unto me, though Moses and Samuel still stood before me, my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, whither shall we go forth? Then shalt thou tell them, thus saith Yahweh, such as are for death, to death, and such as are for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for the famine, to the famine, and such as are for the captivity, to the captivity.
Oh my gosh, read it.
And I will appoint over them four kinds, saith Yahweh, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy.
Read.
And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth.
Why?
Because of Manasseh.
Why?
The son of Hezekiah, what? King of Judah.
Read it again. Because
of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did in Jerusalem.
I want you to stop. Just stop. So, I said that this may not be exactly during the time of Eliakim or Jehoiakim. I start getting these names mixed up as a Jehoiakim and so forth, but the two we've seen tonight after Josiah. Now, I mentioned Manasseh. I mentioned Manasseh and the seeds that he had sown. And again, if we were to go to the 24th chapter, I think his name is going to be mentioned there. So having read what Huldah had pronounced, again, declared as God's judgment, it was a review. But you're going to, if we're in the book of Jeremiah, it's there. It is there. It's like if you've ever been driving on the highway, and every time you get to an exit or a ramp, it seems sometimes, and you see, this is not a plug for this particular restaurant, but you see Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel seems to be ubiquitous. It just seems to be all over the place. You're going to see the ubiquitousness, I don't even know if that's a word, of God's judgment. As a matter of fact, it's through the whole Bible. If you disobey me and you don't truly repent, in the time that I will allow, I will deal with you. Listen at how ominous and how scary chapter 15 sounds. That then said the Lord unto me, Jeremiah, through Moses and, wait a minute, I'm sorry. You know, he mentioned some people that it's like what curry the favor, that were righteous, and God would talk to them. God would use them as a mediator between himself and the people. He said, it doesn't matter if Samuel was to come here. It doesn't matter if Moses would come here, because of the wickedness that has prevailed in Manasseh. It just culminated in Manasseh. I am not changing. I'm not changing. I'm coming up through here. I'm coming up through here because I am the Lord God Almighty. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. He pronounces destruction. Destruction. The people will only want to see this. Don't. Let me tell you, this is a warning. Don't be like that with God. Are you trying to scare the people? Be afraid then. You get afraid when a blue light come out. I ain't afraid of nobody. I bet you're afraid. You don't want that ticket. You don't want that penalty. You don't want that judgment. Listen, he says several, four kinds of judgment here. We'll point over them to these people who have been disobedient to me. I'm going to fourth verse again. Did you hear Manasseh's name? Did you hear it? Listen, and I will cause them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. There are different kingdoms we've talked about. They've had these different gods. Deuteronomy, I think, is the 32nd chapter, around the 7th to 8th verse, where we see that God had chosen Israel for himself, or the Hebrew nation for himself. They weren't Israel yet. He had chosen the Hebrew people for himself. And he says, I'm setting my borders, and all these other nations will be ruled by demonic spirits. This is my people. When you go out and you possess the land that I tell you to, let my words, let my law be my wisdom to you. And the other nations will see it and they'll want that thing. But you didn't do it. You didn't do it. They don't want nothing that you got because you look just like them. Matter of fact, when you get messed up, they're going to laugh at you. What happened to these people? What happened to these people? That's what we're seeing in the scriptures. It is. Yes. I said we were going to read through the sixth verse of this Jeremiah 15. I want to just skip 5 and go to verse 6. Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore, will I stretch out my hand against thee. That's his power. And destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. If the repenting is just a show, God is not fooled. He is not fooled. So when he says repenting, he's not talking about the true repenting. True repenting shows that there's a change. True repenting shows that there's a dependence upon the Lord God Almighty, Most High, and his word. So I say we turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is just full of it, right? When I say full of it, I don't mean full of it as like the world say in a pejorative sense, full of the word of God. Now, I want to turn to Jeremiah 18 just a little bit, because I was turning and reading different parts. I'm gonna do a cutaway, and then we're gonna come back to Jeremiah 18. Just want to read a little bit of the first chapter of Jeremiah, because I believe you believe me, but let's believe the word of God. Who were some of the kings? Listen, this is Jeremiah 1. Because we're talking about Josiah, as when I'm teaching, I say, okay, sometimes, Gary, you're really not clear. And in my mind, I'm like, I think I'm communicating. Well, something says, be clearer. We've talked about Josiah, Jehoahaz, Eliakim, and or Jehoiakim. And we talked about Jeremiah being the prophet. He was prophet through all their reigns. So I just wanted to look at where the scripture will show us some of that. So I turned to Jeremiah 1, first chapter. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of who? In the days of the various kings, some of them of Judah, before God decided to wipe them out and send them captivity. He didn't wipe them all out. He left some there. Nebuchadnezzar would come and take some of the choicest people. Yes, he would. Listen, back at verse 2. Jeremiah 1 and 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. We got several kings mentioned here. So the whole, pretty much, the book of Jeremiah, you see, he's dealing with Judah and God's being tired of him. But there is a hope. Well, there is a hope. We just looked at Jeremiah 15, and we saw that they would be taken captive. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. It's a little parable, kind of, if you will, or maybe not a parable, but an image, some imagery that God would want us to see. Often God will have the prophets portray a reality before the people, with either how they dressed, how they were forced to be quiet, be dirty, whatever God say, do this. Mary, in the case of what's his name, the one that married Gomer, I forgot what his name was all of a sudden. The prophet that married Hosea, thank you. God say, okay, you're gonna be a picture. You're gonna demonstrate to the people a reality that their thick skulls not getting. But let them see it. I'm gonna really give them no excuse. Well, I'm gonna kind of see a picture here. God tells Jeremiah, said, I want you to go to the potter's house. You know, the one that takes the clay and makes an earthen vessel and so forth. So we're gonna skip down, because we kind of know what that is. But I want us to look at, did I write down what I wanted? We're going to start at about the sixth verse. Written it down, but I turn my page, you all. I turn my page. We're going to read from down the sixth verse. Let's say about through the 10th or the 11th verse, right? Would you read that, Dree? And Jeremiah 18, starting at verse 6. Read down through verse 10 or 11.
O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Yahweh?
Okay, so we go back, because I only gave a little bit. So Jeremiah goes and he visits this man working on, I don't know if it was an exact potter's wheel, but that's kind of what we think of. And the vessel, or the jar, is marred. It's not as the one who's creating it, molding it, making it as he wanted it to be. So he destroys it or breaks it or changes it. Now, this is where the question comes in right here. He said, because the potter, he can do what he wants, so he can make another one, right? Now, again, O house of Israel, what, Dree?
O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel.
Because you've been wicked. Y'all been wicked a long time. So I'm finna squeeze and mash and break and throw a piece of this down. And yeah, that's what I'm finna do. Jeremiah, see what I'm doing, Jeremiah? Keep reading.
At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy.
When I get ready to let my judgment come down, because I've been waiting a long time, I don't need counseling on that. I would listen. God is so much better than fear. Our words, he can give us words, but I think they fall short for us to truly understand the marvel, the wonder, the power, the awesome. He said, don't try to make an image of me. That is insulting to me. I'm too great for that. Don't. So when I get ready to exact my judgment, execute my judgment, he says, listen at it. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, whether it be the people that I call by my name or any other nation, because I'm God of all heaven and earth, and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Now, I told you there was some hope. They had hope. Didn't we read in the 22nd chapter, 2 Kings, about the 7th verse where Manasseh looked like, but he seduced the people? Good Lord, how long? I'm going back to Elijah. Halt ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God and he is, follow him. But if, how did it go? If I think that's 1 Kings 18, so maybe around, I don't remember, 19. The Lord be God, follow him. But if not, or Baal, follow him. And the people didn't say anything. Here, go back to where you are. I say, if the people truly penitent, and I say, in the time that I've given them, because see, time that God to send them away. I won't come down on them. There might be some consequences, but I won't come down on them. Yeah. Listen at this next verse. Is it 9? Yeah, I think it is. And at what is this? Thank you.
Speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at. See, I've gone back to my, and maybe I didn't put it together because I was just looking. I was like, oh, wow. Sometimes it's like, I want to say this. I want to say that. So such was my little consternation tonight. But I said, we're going to remind us of, I want to say, I've been saying the culmination through Manasseh. But God had, he's faithful. Giving them time and opportunity, and they rejected him. So when Huldah tells Josiah, "I'm going to deal with them. They're going captive." Now you know we have heard, and Tim, he helped me stuck it out in my mind. Leviticus 26. When we was going through Leviticus, 26 was loud. Deuteronomy chapters 28, 29. I think those are the two. I said before your blessing, I said before your cursing. God put the terms, the conditions of peace out there. Now what we need to understand is, because the world, and I'm about to close out, the world will give us false definitions of love. They give us false definitions of peace. It'll give us false definitions of family. It'll give us false definitions of government. So let's go back to love. Love is of God. So he gets to define it. Go to the next one. And you say, you could say more on that. Well, this is really the one to think of, I mean, to mention or speak on peace. So he gets to determine it. And so because Israel did not have God's peace, he's like, I've got to go in and I'm going to tear down, I'm going to root out, I'm going to pluck up, and I'm going to destroy so that I can renew. See, Hezekiah tried to restore, bring peace. He had those false prophets put down. Josiah comes in, has false prophets put down because they were sowing a government in there that would destroy the people. It was of the other nations. And this is what Jesus said, and we can see it. He said, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And while all that's happening, people can go about doing what they want to, neglecting God. But then if we see what happened with the world before Noah, see, people doing any and everything, I think it's Genesis 6. And the thoughts of man was evil and continually. And you see that begun to worship the sun, moon, and stars. And you see some of that mess continuing on after the flood. God says, I'm going to deal with this because this is not true peace. This is not the love. My peace, Jesus says, I give. Not that of the world. When God determined, that's why the people were supposed to live out God's wisdom, show God's laws, because that's true peace. Satan is upset with God because he cast him down. And the people would not follow the word and the will of God. So now I got to send you away. Listen, before I get ready to end. Even when God sent them away, this is Jeremiah, this is Ezekiel, this is Daniel, leading up to the time of Christ, he said, you didn't your father, talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, let's say the religious folk, which one of the prophets did your fathers not kill? You know, they just continue to reject. Will you reject? There's some seeds that's been sown. He said, when you get over there to complete the last thought I think I was going to try to make. Once you're taken into captivity, he says, I don't want you to marry the Chaldeans. I want you to observe as much as you can because you're not going to be around the temple. As a matter of fact, the temple didn't mean that much in your hearts. It was supposed to, when you offered those sacrifices, to draw you to me. It was real. I wanted it in your heart. That's what I want. I wanted you to recognize me, how grateful you should be for me letting you to, how can I say, bring these animals to die in your stead. Remember the Passover? Remember the Passover? There's an animal sacrifice. When you get over there, be obedient to me. Well, this is mercy. Could have just wiped them all out. Well, as you see, we didn't move on into the 24th chapter. He's like, yeah, what an abrupt thing. We'll go on and read some more. It's still good. We got through a little bit of more Josiah, Jehoahash, Eliakim, whose name became Jehoiakim, and I probably shouldn't try to remember the next one because I'm just thinking Mattaniah, and I think there's another one before Mattaniah. Another one's going to be set up, and I can't remember if it's Jehoiakim. But anyway, we're going to stop right here on this evening, and I'll say a little prayer, and we'll open up for discussion. But it's something for us to look at. Then just to happen in one night with these people. Lord, we thank you for your word, and help us that when we go through your scriptures, we can see patterns that you want us to see, and we can also see how our need for you is constant. Ask you forgive us that if we fail to yield to your word, but trouble us, deal with us as a father would his children, so that we can be safe under the protection of your mighty wings and your strong arm, and we can look forward to the time of your return. Ask that you help us to decrease, but that your Holy Spirit inside of us will increase. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up to, for, how do you say that, discussion tonight, if there's going to be any. Hopefully, let me put this back down. Hopefully, I wasn't. If I was confused, it hopefully wasn't too confusing. I think I heard perhaps someone. There's an echo. I don't know how we can. Hello? Anyone? We take it off of, it's not on. That song, there's a song that says silence is golden. It might not apply to every situation. Anyone? If anyone is speaking, because I know sometimes that is the case, I cannot hear.
And just about to break in with something good.
Oh, okay. she might be thinking you put my name in your mouth. Abdul?
No. No. I really didn't have anything. I just feel sad and mad in my soul because you use the word that I really liked, and it really is the way you use the word ubiquitous.
Uh-oh.
And you're talking about the warnings.
Mm-hmm.
And the warnings that the Most High would give the people, and he would send his prophet and to warn them, turn them back to him. And it's like, well, you know, he keeps threatening, but he does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And later, the fear, instead of you seeing this as a kindness towards you, because I can crush you.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the second time.
You're breaking up a little bit, and I don't know if it's us, but I don't want to miss what you're saying. I think the last thing I heard you say is he could crush you. He's nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has he knows who he is and the power that he has. And so because he warns and he continues to warn and he continues to seek and he continues to send his prophets out, it means nothing anymore. Well, it's what's that in Ecclesiastes, where it talks about a sentence against, what is it?
Yeah.
I don't know if they can hear you.
Can you hear me, Gary?
I heard you, Mama. I know where you are. The people's heart.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. And you talked about sowing seeds and seeds springing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You reap what you sow. And then you have that other portion where it's how you're sowing and your reaping affects the other people around you. And then him how to get, I watched a program where the older men take the young boys when they're about 7 or 8, and they take them and they show them how to sling. So they all get the role and
The last thing I heard is when they're about, I think, 7 or 8, and then it kind of distorted.
I said when they're about 7 or 8, they show them how to sow the land.
Okay.
And so they take them out and they line them up and they come right behind them in a line and they show them how to sow. And so in like manner, we teach our children how to sow.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this, and it's like sometimes it's unconsciously, consciously. Sometimes we know what we're doing, and we're teaching them certain things, and we're planting those good seeds. Sometimes we're planting some bad seeds, and we're teaching them to do it. And it looks like this was the case in mm-hmm. Judah. And you teaching how to sow. And I don't know why you think it's going to be a different harvest, mm-hmm. but it's going to be the same harvest.
It's true.
And it's like you don't pay attention to that. And because you hear these warnings, and they are so common, and you feel like, oh, yeah, you know, and you lightly esteem him. But he said, if you lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem you.
Mm-hmm.
If you will not honor me, I won't honor you. And so it's like you don't take those things to heart. And God is a joke now. You know, oh, he's just talking. He's not really going to do anything. And you lose the fear of him.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't take him seriously. And so it just looked like it was replete with this, you know, one after another. One after another came. And they forget their purpose. If it was ever told them, if they just decide to throw it off and be like the rest of the world, you know, but they were created for a purpose. They were made a nation for a purpose. And it's like, likewise, we are brought into the kingdom for a purpose. Not mm-hmm. so we can sit around and say we cute and pat each other on the butt and say, good job. Thank you for a tithe. You know, it's the purpose is for righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to do it in our own homes, we can't do it anywhere else. We won't do it anywhere else.
That's true.
And so you see king after king come up and the predecessor, and you know, you keep seeing it. And it's like, how is it that they repeat it? They have been taught how to sow. This is how you sow. You sow this. You don't really have to take God seriously. You can be religious, but you can be irreverent too.
Mm.
You don't have to, it ain't that serious. And it's like, how can you sit and hear this time after time, warning after warning, and it has absolutely no effect on you because your heart is a brick now. Nothing can penetrate it. Because you feel like nothing has happened. You know, we're still here. Yeah, though, and yeah, you know, the devil doing that. If something happens, the devil did that. And you recover and you go back. You might do well for a little while and you go back. And you forget it. But it's because of those warnings, and you look at the people who are given these warnings, and you have absolutely no respect for them. You look at them and say, you know, why would I listen to you? I mean, who are you, Jeremiah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're nobody. We're princes. We're kings. Why would we listen to you? I mean, we running things. Why would we listen to you? And you disregard these people who were working for the Most High. And you say, no, you're not a part of my council. And whenever your warning is rejected, a person has told you, you will never be a part of my council. I have something else going on. I'm getting my counsel from somewhere else. Even if from inside of my own mind, if it's from the TV, it's from the Facebook, you're not a part of my council. You're talking too much, and you're talking too long, and you need to get out of my business. But that's how people do God and his people. You disregard them, and you see it because your heart is hard now. You think you're good, and you're not. And it's religious, but you're irreverent. It's not that serious. It's not that serious, but it is. And that's all I had to say.
That's good. That is good. Will you define irreverent?
Something that should be taken, you should take seriously. I'll look it up for you and give you a reference. Let me get a definition. I know it's without reverence, but to be.
I got it. I have, it says having a showing a lack of respect for someone or something that is usually treated with respect, treating someone or something in a way that is not serious or respectful. That's one.
That's what I meant. It's like okay. You have a religion. You doing a religious ceremony, which religion in itself, at its core, is supposed to be about obligation.
Mm-hmm.
But you going through the motions of the ceremonies and the fake piety, and you don't take God seriously. This is really not that serious, but my job is serious. And I make sure I'm there on time and I work extra and I do all of that. And, you know, I don't be flipping with my boss or my bosses or whatever. But you don't have to take it. God ain't that serious. That's not that serious. And that's why people, it goes back to what we were talking about, John the Baptist. And
mm-hmm.
He's a mess. And people saying that, oh, you like a John the Baptist. It's because you're taking it too seriously. We don't take it that seriously. We just trying to get people saved. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard.
Yeah, yes. I didn't understand that as a child because we didn't have that. There were some things that I think was good about where we were and other things, it just was messed up. And I didn't understand it then. And I really don't even, now it's just like, what is this? It's things to definitely really be looking at because you said something years ago and you always say it's something, but it's good. And you said something about things competing for our time. It was you and our Tim. And so I every now and then I have to remember that, okay, like what's competing for your time? What's competing? Because there's always something out there. always.
It's always something. It's not, and it's not just your time, it's your loyalty.
That's true.
It's your heart, you know. It's your ambition. You know, what are you living for? But we have something that you can live for. You can live to buy new cars and own property and work 60 hours a week. We have something. We have awards we give you. And, you know, after you work so hard, a piece of paper or, you know, we might give you a certificate or something. Or, you know, everybody congratulates you. And it's like, but you spent that much time away from your children. You spent that much time ignoring them at home. Not deprogramming them when they come home from school. You haven't taken the time to do these things. And it's like, it's stealing from what's important. And you sowing seeds, though. Your children are watching this stuff. They watching it. They learn how. They learning how to sow. You don't want them to have a job like yours, do you, Gary?
Nope.
You better warn them. Don't do it. Teach them how to sow differently.
Yeah.
Right, because this is the time has changed. You know.
Yeah.
There is like, and there's that. The world is always pulling and tugging and pushing and offering you something else instead of and blinding you from what's important. It's like you do all of that all day long, and yeah, you stayed in your lane, but was any real righteousness done in you today? Did you transfer it? Did you tell anybody about it? It matters. You have no purpose. It's just to go to work. And these folks don't care about you. If you don't come, they'll find somebody else.
That's true.
You think you're not expendable? You are. But you're not to your children. It's like, no, I can't do that. I have an obligation, but then it's like, no, the obligation you have to us is greater. No, it's not. It's never greater. But they'll sell that to you. I know it was sold to me, and I say, I ain't buying it.
Yeah.
And you can find somebody else to work here then.
Yeah.
If I can't be off when my children are sick, if I can't leave when they call me from the school and I need to go, I don't need to work here.
That's unreasonable.
But you're going to make me feel like I'm not going to have a job. Well, go ahead. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
When you start dealing with what's more important, and it's like we keep getting distracted.
Mm-hmm.
World keeps distracting us. We have to be focused, intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never forget that sermon you talk about being intentional.
Yeah, I hear it too. Talking about that, I think yesterday to somebody, being intentional. I think it was yesterday.
Because we ain't going to be able to live here in America in a little while if we don't be more intentional.
That's true.
Or they're going to just be beheading all of us, locking all of us up, putting us in what they call them, re-education camp, which is just prison. It's changed. The world has changed. I mean, at least they have done so much around us. When they sold us, it really doesn't matter, but they're doing everything. They're very intelligent. This ain't their world, it ain't. It's his. They'll tell you it's theirs. And you got to bow down if you want to be a part of it. And most of us have bowed down. We licking boots. We kissing feet.
You said boots.
We have sold out. Sold out. For what? For some paper. A tree. Tree. That's how you bow down. That's how you do idolatry. You don't take that dollar. That's a tree. You bowing down to it. Anyway, now Tim has something to say. There you go.
I love the Lord because he's heard my cry. He lifted my feet up from the dunghill and set me among princes. He established my way from night, from the day. He's beautiful and he's strong. And if Josiah had just, if he had just done what he was told, he could have prolonged the agony. He could have prolonged them having to be brought down. He could have been put off. Wonder how many of us have not caused people to have a little more time because we weren't ready to hear the voice of God.
Mm.
We may be the last buffer for some people. We may be the last buffer. We may be their last warning. But a lot of times we don't understand his overarching plan and don't even seek it. Somebody will tell us how to live. And our feelings, like I was telling a person today, you don't go telling me you don't feel no love in what I'm saying. And what I should have asked, am I obligated to find out what causes you to feel that I got love inside of me? Whereas the love I'm supposed to have is dedicated to the things of God and doing his will. It's and so magnificently say, what is our duty? You see, religion is a duty. People say they're not religious. So that means to me, if you're not religious, first of all, you're lying to me, but more than likely you're saying you don't follow God's word, because the word of God is supposed to tell us what we are supposed to think about him, what it is we are obligated to do for him in this world, and what will be the consequences of doing either what he tells us to do or not. Religion is a duty. Mm-hmm. There is a duty for man. Either your duty will be to the state, to the criminals, or to the parasites. You got a duty. I told a man yesterday, you better hear my words. I said, whether you like it or not, you come into this world and it has many boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You take something too hot, it'll burn you because of heat, the law of heat transference. You can't live up underwater. You got a boundary. And I just went through, started talking about boundaries that are invisible so I can help you learn how to think that I can't be you and you be me and you stick your hand in my pocket and take my money and I don't be upset. Well, there was a boundary for Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't believe it. The thing about Josiah and Necho and Abimelech, it amazes me that there are times that we better have a clue how God operates, and it doesn't have to be through somebody we respect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we think we shouldn't, but there comes a time we ought to be able to hear the resonating voice of the Most High God, or at least go back and inquire. And he said as with Jeremiah, you felt that you felt that, I mean, you got to feel good, the world waiting on you to die before something can happen.
You mean Josiah, right?
What did you say to Tim?
You mean Josiah?
Yeah, you may have felt invincible. It ain't going to happen till you die. You might have felt strong. You had the prophet of speech. God, please with you. Who are you, Nico? You just a Nico to me. And you might be getting ready to try to do too much. And it ain't going to happen till I die. But he said, God said it. And I try to preach and say, this is what God said. And I know I'm telling the truth. And if it bust your head, bust your face, bust your lips, but you feel good, you reject God, you go play the fool. Either way, I want my hands so clean that when I look, I can rejoice when God lift you up, or I can rejoice when he get his vengeance. That's how I want to be. That might sound hard, but it's true. He ain't ever going to let me give the increase. I've tried too many times.
I found something interesting. With he changed Eliakim's name.
To Mataniah?
No. He changed Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim.
So which one he changed? Mataniah. One of them.
Zedekiah. He changed. It was Mataniah, right?
I don't think so, but you might be right.
Mataniah is Zedekiah. Eliakim became Jehoiakim, right, Gary?
Which I think is the son, I want to say, of, I might be getting it wrong. That's why I quit trying. But there is a Jehoiakim too. I think he's the son of.
No Chin comes after.
Yeah.
But he changed Eliakim's name, right?
Yes.
To Jehoiakim, right?
Right.
Pharaoh Necho changed his name to Yahweh. What's the meaning of it? Yahweh sets up or something like that.
I don't
instead of Baal or God, just regular El, he sets up, he raises up, he seizes, something like that. He changed his name to Yahweh. Does this or what they say Jehovah, but. Yahweh does this, and if he changed his name to that, now he must know something about that nation, about the people, about their God. He changed his name from the El. You see it, Tim? Oh, you ain't looking for it.
No, I thought you were wrong about Mataniah. I had to go see you.
I know it. I knew I was right about that. I didn't have to argue with you.
You hit throat.
That's right.
You was laughing back there.
It is I. It says, what does Nico mean? I was looking at something.
It was Eliakim. Eliakim, and he changed his name to Jehoiakim, and it means Yahweh.
Revelation of Yah.
Yahweh raises up. That's what it says in my definition. Okay. And so he put him in charge and changed his name to Yahweh raises up. That he did that. It was he changed it from the just a regular L like God, know, like Elohim L, and he changed it to Yahweh specifically. And he put him in charge, right?
Is he? Yes. It says raised by Yahweh.
So obviously, because the other one had been wicked and he took him away. He carried him away, took him back to Egypt. He ended up dying in Egypt, right?
Yes.
Then he puts this one up and he changes his name to that. And it's like, this Pharaoh knows something about you all, God. He said it. I told him that I got a mission from him to go fight with Babylon. That was just interesting to me. And it's like you knew enough that you wanted to continue his name with this nation where they were in the earth, you know. And mm-hmm. you think, okay, this may be, they may do right. Or at least even with being a buffer, or at least with saying, hey, we can be in partnership, or at least, you know, I can be your overlord. But the Lord is missed, just like I told you. Yeah, I had to kill your kinfolk, but, you know, he got in the way. He got in the way of a mission I had. But I really didn't mean any harm. I told him, don't do it. But I'm trying to restore something to you, you know, but because I know this was not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you will. But they've been taught how to. You have people around you and people in your household and people in your court that teach you how to sew. And you sewing discord, you're sowing hate for God's laws, his statutes and commandments. You're sowing irreverence. And so anyway, I thought that was fascinating.
Well, that's good. I didn't even look at the names. So that's good you brought that out. I see. What was it? It says that the other one, I think Eliakim, if this is right, was saying it meant God's resurrection. So,
then you got Shalom in the Hebrew under the name of Jehovah.
But it's like that was something you have. Well, Nebuchadnezzar,
he tried to raise himself up. Remember, he stayed in a position so long, and then he had somebody to put him down after so many months. I think Nico had to set him down. Then he raised him up and set him down for 3 months.
He put him up in his stead in the stead of his father Josiah, and he took him away.
Right.
And he didn't let him come back. Then he put up the other one and changed his name and say, I know you can know that somebody's father is honorable. I knew he was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep his name going. Let's, you know, let's try to at least keep something. You all have gone and now your name L something, you know. Let's try to restore something that was lost. And it's like, you know, you're not there all the time over us as an overlord. You know, we got other people here. Yeah. Let's tell them, like, let's talk about our old wickedness and let's do that. Why don't you do this? Won't you seek the ancestors and let them tell you what to do? Who did that? Which one of them did? Is it Asa?
I don't remember at all. Because
I remember you bringing that out, and I was like, I didn't know that.
That was the dentist. Is that what you're talking about when he had disease in his foot?
Yeah.
See, I didn't.
You
say
it was reaching the answer.
But I didn't think about it in the term, because I've been talking to somebody yesterday about him in that Wakanda, so. It do mean that they pump in that stuff. That Rafa. And so you have people like Stanley Water telling people that you can't go to the doctor because God is against you, go to the physician. And yet, I read somebody say, they did a whole, need not a physician, but they did a sick. So either he's saying they need a person that's able to do medicinal work, or they need an ancestor or a demon. Now, which one you gonna go your stake on?
He is from Haiti. So
he more.
Well, they do such things, and people think he's like, oh, you know the our ancestors, they, you know, they were in tune with the spirits, and that's where we come from. And it's like, do you think something just because something old is good?
Well, the thing is, look what the fruit is born.
Anyway, I'll be rambling now, Gary, so you can.
Well, I appreciate you all's comments tonight. It's definitely adding to what the scripture saying, food for thought, to help us pull all this together. We want to be found pleasing the Lord. So it is like, why are we here? Why are we here? I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear him say.
Yeah.
Into the joy. I want some of that now, but to enter, like, you know, that rest that Hebrews talks about. So, yeah, I want that. So, but Lord willing, we'll go back. Cause I was at one point, like at first I said, I'm going to cover this. And then I kept reading and I forgot, but I was like, well, this is probably a good spot to kind of stop, park a little bit in Jeremiah. So, Lord willing, we connect back up on Thursday night and get some more of this good word of the Lord. So let's keep praying for one another. Love y'all.
Love y'all too. Good night.
Good night.